rock and roll music, if you like it, and if you feel it, you can't help but move to it. That's what happens to me. I can't help it. I mean, I have to move around. I can't stand still. I've tried it, and I can't do it.
Bill, do you feel that you've been very lucky, or do you feel that you do have a talent that most of the other people you meet don't have?
Well, sir, I've been very lucky. I've been very lucky.
And I'm lucky, too. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob, and I'm wondering why Elvis didn't knock that guy's teeth right down his stinking throat.
So tell me, Rob, do you feel lucky to be my co-host right here every Tuesday night on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
Do you feel lucky, or do you think you do have a little modicum of talent there, Elvis?
Well, this is a serious question, Rob. You do feel lucky to be my co-host, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling lucky.
We have on the phone lines Paul Kursek. He's the CEO of,
Grandview Cellars out in California. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm great, guys.
And I understand you're about to start marketing Graceland First Vintage. It's a 1993 Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's right.
Is it smooth?
It's very smooth.
Now, let me see if I get this straight. They got a vineyard out at Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee. You pick the grapes. Elvis's grandchildren are stomping on them with their feet. And you're making a bottle of wine out of it.
That's exactly right. And we keep them working all day long. And then they ship the grapes to California and we make the wine.
Why don't you just make the wine out of California grapes? Because I thought you're supposed to grow really good grapes out there.
Well, the truth is, that is what we do, guys. They are California grapes. They're not grown in Graceland and Memphis, Tennessee.
Now, can I take a guess whose picture is going to be on the bottle of Graceland First Vintage?
Take a guess.
Vernon. I say Vernon.
It's not me.
Lisa Marie?
No, not Lisa Marie.
No, there's going to be a picture of the king himself, Elvis Presley, on every bottle of Graceland First Vintage.
Absolutely, the king himself.
Now, is it going to be a young Elvis or an old Elvis? Did you have a vote like they did at the post office a few months back when they made the stamp?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to tell your listeners whether it's a young Elvis and an old Elvis. Maybe they just want to buy the wine and discover that for themselves.
How much is this wine going to sell for? Will it be more or less than the Tony Bennett wine?
Well, if I knew how much the Tony Bennett wine was, I could...
$12.95.
$12.95? It's more than.
Is it more or less than the Smothers Brothers wine?
How much is the Smothers Brothers wine?
Oh, I don't know. Who else has their own... What other celebrity has their own vintage?
Marilyn Merlot. Marilyn Monroe's wine. Marilyn Merlot.
I've seen that. That's real. And Blue Nun. How much is a bottle of Blue Nun?
Blue Nun? I'm not even sure. This wine is $22.50.
Is that a lot for a bottle of 1993 Cabernet Sauvignon?
Not a so-called premium cab, no. That's a very average price.
Okay, what is a Cabernet? What's that mean?
That's the grape. That's the grape that the wine is made from.
Is it a red grape, a green grape, or a purple grape?
This is a red grape.
Mm-hmm. Seedless?
No, actually they're not seedless. They have little tiny seeds, but when we run them through a stem crusher...
Your wine doesn't have pulp, does it?
No pulp, no juice. It's like my son doesn't like orange juice with pulp. This wine has no pulp.
I mean, this is going to be better than Boone's Farm. Okay, what's the Sauvignon part referred to?
That's also just part of the grape name.
Also, Cabernet Sauvignon is a big, long name for a little grape.
For a little tiny grape.
Kind of like having two names on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
That's right.
So this is a whole lot of talk show.
That's right, and it's a whole lot of wine.
So Paul Kursek of Grandview Cellars, how long have you been in the wine business?
Well, I've been in the wine business for 4.5 years, and my partner, Phil Baxter, who is the winemaker of Graceland, has been in the wine business for 25 years.
And where'd you get the idea to make a bottle of wine, a red wine at that, with a picture of Elvis on the bottle and call it Graceland First Vintage?
Well, Priscilla Presley is an old friend of mine. This is something that she was interested in doing. It's a common interest of ours, that is wines. Good wines is a common interest of ours. And about 3.5 years ago or so, we started talking about doing this. And we proposed that we would develop a wine together, and that's exactly what we did.
You know, Elvis always struck me as being more the PBR sleeping pill type.
Right. That's probably
true. Do you get some sleeping pills with every bottle you buy of Graceland First Vintage?
Nope. You have to go to your doctor and get a prescription.
How did you hook up with Scylla?
She's just a friend. She's a good friend.
What, I mean, did you meet her on a computer dating service or something?
Yeah, no. As many people do, we met through mutual friends.
Leslie Nielsen?
No. Yeah, that would be a good one.
The colonel, did meet her through the colonel?
Right, through, are we talking about the colonel as in Kentucky Fried Chicken?
No, Tom Parker. Colonel Tom. When's Colonel Tom going to get his own bottle of wine? When are you going to call that?
Well, I don't know. You got a good suggestion?
I don't know. You know, he was never a U.S. citizen, Colonel Tom wasn't.
He wasn't?
No, Tom Parker wasn't his real name either.
What's his real name?
You could put, like, Elvis trivia facts on the back of your wine.
We could.
You could put, like, you know, trivia fact number one, Tom Parker.
Actually what we should do is when we make the 1994, every wine bottle carries a front label and a back label.
Right.
And we should ask you guys to write the back label for us.
That'd be cool.
Because the back label, that's where you kind of tell your story about the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll do is we'll send you guys a bottle of the 93 first vintage. You can try it.
Hold on a second, Paul. Hmm? There's two of us.
Right.
So you'll send two bottles.
Can you drink two bottles between you?
We also have a producer, you know.
We could probably drink a whole case between us.
Okay.
If it's the good
well,
stuff.
Here's what you do.
Is.
You try the first vintage, see what mm-hmm. you think.
Okay.
And you write a little story, and we'll put it on the back label.
Cool.
Of the second vintage.
So are you going to try to have this every year?
Yes.
And do you have a 3-year lapse, I guess. So in 96, you come out with the 93 grapes. And 90.
Right. And next year we'll come out with the 94 and so on. Right.
Do you happen to know locally where we would be able to pick up a bottle of this Graceland First Vintage 1993
well,
Cabernet Sauvignon?
Actually, as of tonight, there is none yet in Cincinnati, but our distributor there... For Philippe Lorraine, which is our other label, that's the label that my partner has been making for the last 10 years, we distribute that through a company in Cincinnati called Metamora Imports. And they're a wholesaler. The way the wine industry works is that you have to ship to a licensed distributor. They, in turn, distribute the wine to retail stores. And then the consumer can go there and buy the wine in the retail stores. And as you have to understand, guys, this wine was just released. It is literally just going out. So I don't think as of tonight or tomorrow morning your listeners could go to a store in Cincinnati. But soon the wine should be at Metamora Imports, and then they will in turn put it in stores in Cincinnati.
What percent is it?
Alcohol?
Yeah.
12.8, I think.
Would it really knock you on your ass?
You'd have to drink a lot of it.
What kind of food should you serve with the wine?
Well, if it's with an Elvis wine, probably peanut butter and egg sandwich.
Peanut butter and Nana sandwich.
Peanut butter and Nana sandwich.
But you want to serve a red jam or jelly.
Really? What about spaghetti?
Spaghetti would work.
With red wine, you're supposed to eat it with or drink it with Italian food.
Yeah, you know, meats, red, yeah, meats, pastas, that's normally what red wine is.
Big old steak. Now, let's suppose you had a white wine.
Pig skins.
Mm-hmm. White wine you drink with fish, right?
Typically.
Pork chops.
Right, typically. Although we tell people to just drink what they like. I mean, one of the mistakes that the wine industry has tried to do, I think, has tried to put these wines in these very specific categories and make wine very mysterious and make wine very specific. And what winds up happening is somebody that doesn't know wine very well goes to a restaurant, they don't understand it, they get uncomfortable, and they don't order it. And what we recommend to people is forget all of that stuff, drink what you like.
Yeah, because a lot of people I know feel that all these wine classifications and the rigmarole that goes along with checking it out.
The elitism of wine.
It's all just a whole bunch of arbitrary constructs set up to separate the bourgeois from the proletariat.
Right. I would agree 100%.
So would you recommend drinking the Elvis 1993 Cabernet, say, chilled?
I would recommend drinking it any way you would like it.
If
you want to put ice cubes in it, put ice cubes in it. If you want to drink it at room temperature, drink it at room temperature. If you want to drink it at 58 degrees, drink it at 58 degrees. Just do it the way you enjoy it.
What you're saying is you don't care why we buy your wine, even if it's just for the damn cork, just buy our wine.
No, what I'm saying is...
Hold on, does it have a cork or is it a screw cap?
No, it does have a cork.
All right.
What I'm trying to say is that I'm agreeing with you guys. There's been too much mystery in this wine business, which we just don't simply agree with. I just think wine is something that's incredibly enjoyable. It's been around literally for thousands of years. And somehow in this late 20th century, we in the wine industry have managed to make this a great mystery. And I think we're depriving a lot of people of the pleasure.
So you're on the marketing end of the wine business, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Do you think the Elvis thing is actually going to help you or hinder you? Do you think that any wine aficionado will be able to take the vintage seriously when there's a picture of the King and Graceland on the cover?
Yeah, I do. But I think there's a lot of tendency not to do that, obviously. I think that most people that are in the wine industry will probably not take the wine all that seriously at first. And I think what has to happen for those people that are in the industry or are typical consumers of wine or people that consider themselves knowledgeable about wine, they're going to have to buy a bottle, they're going to have to try it, and they're going to have to go through the pleasant surprise that this really is a very good Cabernet. And I think once they discover that, then they're simply going to make a choice on the quality of the wine.
Do you think with increased consumption of Graceland wine, there might be an increase in Elvis sightings?
I think there could easily be. I think that anybody that looks at the label very closely is going to have an increase in Elvis sightings.
Was it have like a hologram on it?
No. It's actually got an image of Elvis that's in the background of the label. You don't see it. It's not obvious.
But is it a young Elvis or an old Elvis?
It's an old, or excuse me, a young Elvis.
Oh, actually. It's a young, virile Elvis as opposed to that hot, fat, sweaty Elvis.
You got it.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Paul Kursak.
Hey, guys.
The CEO of Grand
Chris,
Cellar.
Rob, thank you very much.
All right.
Have fun out there.
We'll look for that wine.
You bet.
Okay, here's
right,
our address.
See ya.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're not done with that Elvis tip yet, so stay tuned. We got more Elvis to come. It's an all Elvis night on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, you're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high class.
We've now moved down into the library of the USS Randall, and we are now only minutes away from sailing time. And Elvis Presley will shortly be on his way to Germany and a return to the United States. Well, who knows? It'll be some time anyway. Elvis, we have just a small group and a few moments to talk about things. I know you're a pretty tired fellow. You've had a busy couple of days getting here to the Brooklyn port and getting ready to leave, haven't you?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Well, how long has it been, for example, since you've had a chance to eat today?
Well, I ate breakfast this morning. I haven't eaten since. Of course, it's...
Now it's almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I don't feel like that I could eat anything right now.
Elvis, since we're so close to sailing time, and we're getting pretty close to the last thoughts that you have here in the country before you go overseas in your stint of duty. What do you think about? How do you feel?
Well, I'm going to be very honest about it. I'm looking forward to Germany. I'm looking forward to seeing the country and meeting a lot of the people. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to coming back here.
Now, as I say, we're getting closer and closer to the time that they're going to pull that gangplank away, and you'll be on your way. Since this is probably the last chance that you'll have to say something to your fans, do you have any particular message that you'd like to pass on to them?
Listen to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show every Tuesday night at midnight right here on 88.3 FM WIF. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
We're going to talk to a lady now who's written a book about Elvis. She knows more about Elvis than anybody, probably. Alana Nash.
Hello, Ms. Nash.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. And you've just written a new book called Elvis Aaron Presley, Revelations from the Memphis Mafia. Now, what is the Memphis Mafia?
Well, the Memphis Mafia is a term that the press gave to his entourage.
Red. Red and the fellas.
That's Red. Red West, Sonny West, Marty Lacker, Billy Smith, and Lamar Fike are my three guys who contributed to this book.
Now, which one of those guys just wrote a big giant encyclopedia with Elvis's stepbrother?
When I see you're up on your stuff.
Yeah, see, Vernon Presley got remarried after Elvis's mom died, and Vernon's second wife had a kid who was like 12 or something running around Graceland during the 70s.
Right.
So this kid was like some kind of hippie freak wild man hanging out with Elvis.
Well, there were three of those boys, and David Stanley is the one responsible for the encyclopedia. And Lamar Fike wrote the foreword to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so what's in your book, Elvis Aaron Presley, Revelations from the Memphis Mafia, that has not been in the 9,477 Elvis books published previously to 1996?
Oh, I thought there were more than that.
Maybe.
Well, you know, it's not a book of revelations like, I mean, we're not saying Elvis was gay or anything, you know, but certainly I think this is honest to God, a psychological portrait of him that nobody's been able to come up with before, because these were the guys who were around him 24 hours a day for 30 years.
Why did he shoot his television?
Why did he do it?
Yeah.
He did it for a number of reasons. The main reason he shot it out when Robert Goulet was on was because he had a girlfriend before he went to the Army, a woman named Anita Wood, who dated Robert Goulet while Elvis was in Germany. And she used to write Elvis letters over in Germany, and Robert Goulet would write, P.S. I'm taking really good care of your girlfriend. Now,
man,
whether they were just, you know, friends or really did date, it just pissed the hell out of him.
Whoa.
So he carried that grudge all those years, and whenever he saw Robert Goulet on television, he just blasted the heck out of that.
Now, do you think if the king himself, Elvis, had ever heard the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, do you think he would have shot his radio?
Well, you know, he had a wonderful sense of humor, so he probably would have dug it.
Cool. Why was he so into guns? I mean, he didn't just shoot TVs, but why did he always have guns around anyway?
I think because he felt powerless. I mean, he was completely powerless in his life. From the time he was a tiny child and his father got hauled off to prison for forging a check, there was always this feeling in him that guns and authority figures, law figures, were people both to be feared and to respect. And when he got old enough to fantasize, he wanted to be one of them. And as a young child and as a teenager, he wanted to be a policeman.
Yeah, when he grew up and became a big giant rock star, he went around collecting badges.
Oh yeah, I mean, to him the big turn on was to be a cop.
That's why he went to meet Nixon. Tell us about Elvis meeting Nixon.
Well, in the early 70s, he was completely fixated on all of these badges. He had honorary badges. He had real badges from various towns and townships, counties.
So like in Cincinnati, would you say, here, Elvis, you're an honorary cop, and give Elvis like a Cincinnati police badge, and Elvis would really like it?
It would have been orgasmic. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If Elvis was still alive, I'd make him my honorary co-host.
He would probably get off on that.
Okay, so he went to Washington to meet Nixon?
Well, the one thing, you know, the real jewel in the crown would have been to have a narcotics agent badge, especially since Elvis was high almost 24 hours a day. So he had it in his head that pushers had to be destroyed. Now, he thought the kind of drugs he took were okay because they were all prescription medicine. He had a doctor giving them to him. But he thought street drugs were really, you know, the end of the earth, the scourge of America. And so he got turned down from the FBI for a narcotics agent badge, so he just figured he'd go to Washington and charm President Nixon out of one, and that's exactly what he did.
So that's the thing about the king, love him or hate him, he took the bull by the balls. He got turned down for a badge, so he says, screw the bureaucrats, I'm going to go meet Tricky myself.
That's exactly what he did.
And Nixon gave him a badge, didn't he?
He was completely charmed by him, and in fact, just a couple of months before he died, Nixon went on camera in an interview, and he talked about the day Elvis came to visit. And he really was mesmerized by him. He thought he was a fine young man.
Because Elvis, he didn't come, like, you know, wearing blue jeans and a torn brown sweater.
Yeah, I think he showed up in full regalia, didn't he?
He showed up with a cape, the World Wrestling Federation belt, and the big sunglasses. He had the whole nine working for him, didn't he?
He had on a crushed velvet purple cape.
And sideburns that went all the way down to the floor, I think, too.
And enough mascara for the Avon lady.
Elvis was wearing mascara?
Oh, yeah.
See, I didn't know he wore mascara.
He wore eye makeup and pancake makeup from the early days, way before he got famous.
Did he ever wear pumps?
Not that I know of.
What, did he want to be like Little Richard or something?
Well, you know, he had this kind of dichotomy about his personality. I mean, I think that if he had not been a rock star and if he hadn't been a cop, he would have been a hairdresser. He really got off on washing and setting people's hair and putting makeup on them, especially young girls.
Cool.
That was a really big turn on for him.
So what's the deal with this Dr. Nick guy that prescribed all those drugs? Why isn't this guy in jail? Who's
well,
Dr. Nick?
He has his license to prescribe now, so, you know, it's a fine, the argument about Dr. Nick is a tough one because, on the one hand, he gave him, you know, just in the last 18 months of Elvis's life, Dr. Nick prescribed something more than, like, 9,000 pills for Elvis.
9,000 pills in the last 18 months.
Who is this Dr. Nick? What's his last name and where did Elvis find him?
His name is Nicopolis, and Dr. Nick practiced in Memphis. He was a family physician, and he was recommended to Elvis by one of the entourage, George Klein. And Dr. Nick really did try to do him a service in many ways. He along with Billy Smith, who's one of the co-authors of this book, figured out a very intricate plan of substituting placebos and all kinds of fake liquid stuff to inject in Elvis to try to wean him off some of the stronger stuff. But, you know, Dr. Nick was only one of the suppliers. He had doctors all around the country who would give him stuff. And when he would catch on to Dr. Nick trying to wean him off the hard stuff, he'd just go find somebody else to give it to him. He'd fire Dr. Nick and get on a plane and go to somebody else. So, you know, you can argue that this guy just made a junkie out of him, but in truth, he went to all ends to try to help him as well.
We're talking to Alanna Nash, the author of Elvis Aaron Presley, Revelations from the Memphis Mania. Alanna, tell us about Elvis's diet.
Oh, geez. You know, this is a guy who would eat literally 100 cartons of yogurt in one evening's setting.
That's a lot of yogurt.
That's a lot of yogurt.
What kind of yogurt?
You know, well, I'm not sure what flavor he really liked, but he would eat it with fruit, I know. But, you know, this is a guy who did everything to the extreme. This is a guy who would eat the same breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 2 years running. Not the same thing for all three meals, but the same, whatever he had for breakfast, he'd have that same thing for breakfast for 2 years running.
Wow.
And this is a guy who also liked, his favorite concoction was mashed potatoes, sauerkraut, burned bacon, and tomatoes.
I like that, too.
I like that, yeah, except for the tomatoes part.
I mean, he would eat an entire pound of bacon at one time.
Fried?
Fried, absolutely black.
Well, I thought you meant maybe raw. That'd be really weird.
And he would mix it all up into this concoction that looked like something out of Close Encounters of the whatever kind that was, third kind, I guess.
So how did you get your curiosity piqued by Elvis? What got you into this whole Elvis craze?
Well, I guess just age. I mean, I was like 6 when Elvis appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, and I just thought he was from outer space. I just thought he was the wildest cat that ever came along, and he was for me, you know?
Did you like him better than the Beatles?
I liked him better then, of course, because there weren't any Beatles. But when the Beatles came along, Elvis's music had really taken a pretty downward turn. And yes, I was much more interested in the Beatles in those years.
So why didn't you write a book about the Beatles?
Well, when Elvis died, I was the pop critic for the Louisville Courier Journal, and the paper sent me to Memphis to cover the funeral. And I met a number of those fellows who knew him while I was down there. And I was tremendously moved by the outpouring of grief for him and what he meant to a tremendous segment of America.
Do you think he's still alive?
No, I know he's not. I saw him in his coffin.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
You saw him. It wasn't just a wax dummy?
Well, that's an interesting question, because by a quirk of fate, I happen to be, my partner and I happen to be the first two people in to view the body.
And you accidentally held a camera to his hand, or a candle to his hand?
No, we didn't, but I really did think it was a wax dummy when I first saw him. I mean, because it didn't look anything like him. And he didn't have on clothing that you would expect the king to wear, you know? I mean, I don't think I expected him to have on a jumpsuit, for God's sake, but he had on a white business suit and a light blue, like a button-down or an Oxford cloth shirt. I don't think it actually was button-down, but like an Oxford cloth shirt and a silver tie.
Well, that's what he used to wear when he used to sing gospel.
Well, you know, that's right. That's a good observation. Nobody else has said that.
You heard it here first on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
I don't think he wore a silk tie when he sung gospel.
Yeah, why not? I'm sure he did.
But you're right. He was dressed like he would have been in his gospel mode. You're right. And it turned out to be an outfit that his father had given him for Christmas. But his face didn't look anything like Elvis. And, of course, now I know why. But
maybe he was an Elvis impersonator. He wore a lot of makeup.
Well, they had enough makeup on him, you know, to start a cosmetic factory. But the reason is because he laid on his face for something like 8 hours before they found him. He was completely discolored, and the EMS worker thought he was a black man.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he was so discolored that they had to put so much crap on him to make him look flesh-colored again, that's why he looked so waxy.
Okay, I have I got a couple of these weird questions.
Yeah.
Is it more about his diet?
No.
Let's ask him more about his diet.
I heard that after Scylla.
Yes.
Squirted out Lisa, that Elvis did not want to touch her anymore because he couldn't stand the notion of having sex with somebody's mama. Is that true, or do you know have any information on that end of
Absolutely
things?
Absolutely correct. Yeah, the idea of actually having sex with a woman who had a child was completely abhorrent to him. And whether it has anything to do with sleeping with both of his parents until he was 13 years old, I don't know, but... that's absolutely true. Any woman who had a child, he wanted nothing to do with.
Cool. Now, didn't he have some kind of weird desire to produce a perfect child?
Yeah, he did. He thought that he was the perfect man, and that he somewhere there was the perfect woman, and they would produce the perfect child, which, of course, would have to be a boy named John Baron Presley. So, you know, the ideal woman he had in mind was sort of a composite of many women that he had dated, but... He never really found the one woman, so he told Billy Smith he wanted to contribute to a sperm bank in case he couldn't find the perfect woman before he shot
her. Are you saying somebody out there has Elvis's jizz?
I don't think it ever actually happened.
Oh, man, because that stuff would be valuable if somebody had it.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
Now, is this question going to be about Elvis's diet?
No, kind of.
I want our last question with her.
Well, you can ask another one when I get done, can't you?
Okay, just check.
Now, I heard that Elvis and Judy Garland died the same way.
What?
Straining at the stool.
Well, that is... I've never heard that about Judy Garland, actually.
But she was a big junkie, too, you know. There's something about being a junkie that makes you, you know, not regular or something.
Well, you know, his fecal material at autopsy was absolutely chalk white.
Ugh. What? How would that happen?
Because he was such a notorious junkie.
It's probably from that diet of his.
Well,
eating all that bacon and peanut butter and stuff.
I mean, even the people who attended the autopsy were amazed at that. But the straining of the stool theory has some validity. You know, I think we'll never really be sure exactly what killed him. Of course, he had something like 17 different drugs in his body, but precisely what killed him, we'll never know. I mean, the straining of the stool theory, when coupled with the idea that he mistook... codeine tablets for Dilaudid tablets could actually be the answer to this. I mean, he was highly allergic to codeine, but if he took it in small enough amounts, it wouldn't bother him.
What's Dilaudid?
It's a very powerful painkiller given to the terminal cancer patient.
Well, we sure appreciate you speaking to us, Alana. The book is, what's the name of it?
Elvis Aaron Presley, Revelations from the Memphis Mafia.
And it's in stores everywhere, huh?
It is.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number here is 749-1444. I'm Chris.
Hey, do we have a copy of this book?
We'll get one.
Are we getting one?
We better.
We getting two? Are we really getting one?
We're really getting a bottle of wine. Anyhow.
How come that's going out on the air?
It just is, man.
This is like so weird.
Starting to hallucinate a little bit. Anyways, nope, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. Shout out to Craig. I know you're out there. Shout out to everybody else. We'll be right back. Rob, I think
we need
it's
more.
Time.
We need more shout outs.
I think we need a little burning love.
It's about time.
Everybody, we're back. Back in effect, full effect. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Together we are
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
And tonight's Elvis night here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number here is 749-1444. That's the on-air call-in phone line. We're a call-in talk show. If you've never tuned in before, that's the gig here, man. You call us up, we talk.
Right now we've got Kim Epperly on the line from Roanoke, Virginia. How are you, Kim?
I'm fine.
And you are the curator of Mini Graceland?
Yes.
What in the world is Mini Graceland?
Well, it's a replica of the real Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee.
What possessed you to make a replica? Is it a life-size replica, first of all?
No, it is like the main house is about 4.5 feet tall.
Mm. Well, it about comes up to your waist.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a waist-high Graceland.
Right.
So why did you want to make a waist-high Graceland?
Well, I've been an Elvis fan ever since I was a teenager growing up, and I've bought all these records, listened to him through the years, and have just grew up with Elvis and and seen him in concerts about 3 times and went to Memphis. I've been there 14 times. And I come home in 84 from Memphis, and I asked my husband to build me Graceland. And he did.
Now, your husband's never been to Graceland, though, has he?
He's not been.
That's
to
a sign of true love. We should have had you on Valentine's Day, because for a man to build his wife a miniature replica of Graceland, I think is a sign of true love.
Definitely.
It touches my heart. I'm going to go cry.
So why haven't you taken your husband to Graceland with you?
Well, we have 8 children.
Take them all.
All of them are married, except one. We still have one at home that's 11 years old.
Oh, does he like to play in miniature Graceland? You know, like crawl through the living room and stuff like that?
Well, used to, when I would be out, you know, trimming the grass and the trees and stuff, he would kind of take his Ninja Turtles and things like that, kind of stand them around. Kind of stand them around, you know, which was okay as long as
so
I was
you got Donatello in the jungle room.
Beg pardon?
You got Donatello in the jungle room. Do you have the different rooms set up like that? Like, yeah, I've been to Graceland.
Oh, yeah.
And you got the one room that there's mirrors all over the place.
Yeah.
Because someone told Elvis that mirrors made rooms look bigger, so he put mirrors all over this one room.
Yeah, you come in the front door, and you come into the entrance hall, and the staircase is right straight ahead with the curve at the bottom, and I have the dining room and
the jungle room. You got the
upstairs.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, we didn't have the upstairs partitioned off. For we have plexiglass in the back,
uh-huh.
So people can walk around it and everything, and they can look in because there's furniture inside.
Do you have the racquetball court?
No, we don't have that yet.
Do you have the stable?
No, I tell you what we have here.
Okay.
Do you have any miniature TVs and some BB guns?
Sure. We have TVs in there, and we have a Bible.
Do you have a TV with the screen shot out and the picture of Robert Goulet on the screen?
No, we don't have that here.
Okay. So you've got the main house, which is Graceland itself.
Yeah, we have all of it, which is about 55 foot long. We have the swimming pool. We have the meditation garden.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is set up just like the real garden, has the fountain with water that comes up. We have the circle drive. We have the guardhouse. We have the rock wall. We have the miniature gates. It's exactly like the real Graceland in Memphis.
Do you have the muffler shop right next to it?
No.
Do you have the museum across the street from it?
Well, we have, we built Tupelo. The little birthplace house, it steps to the left. And then behind there is Tupelo, is the country church Elvis attended as a child.
Oh, so instead of the muffler shop and instead of the Walk a Mile in My Shoes Theater.
No, we don't have Walk a Miles and souvenir shops here.
Oh, yeah, you got the other Elvis sites.
We have Vernon's home, which is Elvis' dad. We have the Roanoke Civic Center here, which is 5 foot tall, 5 foot wide, 5 foot deep.
You've got the Roanoke Civic Center replicated?
Yes, we do.
With Elvis on stage?
With Elvis on stage. We have about 40-some Barbies in there in seats with their hands up and scarves in their hands. And
you got any Ninja Turtles in there?
Their laps and
so what kind of doll did you get to be Elvis? My guess would be...
No, we got Elvis.
Oh, I think you would get one of those Evel Knievel dolls.
Elvis in 1984.
Now, you said you've seen Elvis perform live.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the young, virile Elvis or the old, fat, sweaty, drug-riddled Elvis?
Well, I never thought of Elvis that way. Maybe you do, but I didn't. Okay?
I'm sorry.
When did you see him?
I saw him here in 72, 74, and 76.
That was the drug riddled Elvis.
And I still have my tickets for 77. Of course, he passed away before I could see him
again.
That
was the drug riddled Elvis.
How was he? Was he good? Did he put on a good show?
Definitely.
What was your favorite song?
What was my favorite song?
Did he do the American Trilogy?
Yes, he did.
Born in Love?
Yes, he did.
Suspicious Minds?
Yes, he did.
You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog?
Yes.
Do you have the planes and all that, the Elisa Marie and
I do have the Elisa Marie plane. It's in the air. See, in Memphis, they have it catty corner across the street from Graceland.
Right, you got to pay an extra like $3 to see the Lisa Marie plane.
And, but here, I could not, you know, I couldn't put the airplane down by Graceland like I do, like they have it there. So I have, we're doing an airport. So we have Lisa Marie in the air.
Cool.
So, and then we also have the Automobile Museum.
That's a cool
and
museum.
And the Heartbreak Hotel restaurant here.
I like that. Now, okay, you know, you're obviously a big Elvis fan, so you probably, you know a little bit about him. What do you think Elvis would think of that whole strip just being gift shops and these museums and, you know, just his whole block is now a big tourist trap. The actual home, you know, that's where he lived. That's an actual home of a great American. But across the street, there's like a million different stores to buy a refrigerator magnet of Elvis. What do you think he would think of all that?
What do I think? Well, I'm not saying he would like it, you know. I mean, a lot of people are glad they're there.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can, you know, still buy the records they've missed or a videotape or a souvenir they want to bring back home, you know, to an Elvis fan. But if Elvis was alive, it wouldn't be there.
Right.
You know?
Well, is it open to the public? Is Miniature Graceland open to the public?
Yes.
And how do they go about finding Miniature Graceland?
They can call the Visitor Center.
Again, what's that phone number?
Wait just a moment. Here in Roanoke, and they will send them some literature out, or they will tell them exactly, you know, how to get here.
Also, just call the Roanoke Visitor Center or the Roanoke Chamber of Commerce or something.
Yeah, here it. I have the phone number here.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it 540?
It is 540.
540. Write this down, dude.
342.
6025.
Mm-hmm.
And you are Kim Epperly of the Mini Graceland in Roanoke, Virginia. Thanks for staying up late and talking to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye.
And as you just heard, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Phone lines are open at 749-1444. 749-1444 is the phone number. Right here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
How come if it's like one of your, or, you know, your Mr. Cool Gen X heroes, like Jimmy Page or Jimi Hendrix or John Lennon, them being drug-riddled, them being totally whacked out on drugs, somehow made them cool and more creative, yet Elvis being whacked out on drugs somehow made him a joke and a clown?
Let's ask Rod.
I wonder why that works all the time. Why is that? Who have we got?
Why is that, Rod?
We gotta do some. We gotta do some of these.
Why is it cool for Jimmy Page and Jimi Hendrix to get all whacked out on drugs, but not Elvis?
Elvis was an idol. We're watching a porno. We're drunk, man. Calm down. Calm down.
Man, we talked for. Well, okay. What's on your mind, Rod?
What's on my mind? The name should explain it.
This guy was going nowhere fast, and he wasn't taking me with him.
Right. Anyone that's just sitting around getting drunk watching pornos, don't call us.
Maybe Dick will call next.
Somebody who's sitting around watching Firing Line, listening to Vivaldi, and drinking wine like some kind of a Cabernet Sauvignon, we want you to give us a call. 749-1444.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, WAIF, reminding you not to play games with your eyes. Wear eye protectors while playing a sport. Reduce the risk of serious eye injury. You need the facts? Call Prevent Blindness Ohio. Here's the number. 1-614-464-2020. Hi, Craig. You're on with Chris and Rob.
Hello.
Straight out of the U.S. Army, we have Spec 4 Craig Comer. Are you glad to be out of the Army, Craig?
Yes, I am, man. I can barely hear you guys. I almost...
Oh, man. He doesn't know how to work it. He's been down here.
Ah, there we go.
Craig, you're a former guest on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and you don't know how the gig works.
Yes, I do.
You got to listen to the radio, not the phone.
That's what I'm doing. I'm listening to the phone, and I can still barely hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Listen to the radio, not the phone.
Can you hear us?
Oh, that way.
Yeah, see, this is the opposite of most of those, you know, lesser stations.
It's a Walkman, so it'll be a pain in the ass.
Find out why you called.
Why did you call?
Because, you know, I'm the ultimate Elvis fan.
You are the ultimate Elvis fan.
I didn't know if you guys realized that.
Do you have a tattoo of Elvis somewhere on your scruddy body?
No, but you know what I just got? I got a dog, a bloodhound, in fact, last week. And
a tattoo of a dog on what? You got a hound dog?
No, I bought an actual dog.
Oh, a real dog?
And his name was Elvis.
Really? He's a hound dog, huh?
Yes, he is.
What? That's great.
Well, thank you. And I have a couple of books here I thought you might be interested in. One is called Are You Lonesome Tonight? It's by Lucy DeBarbin and some other person, like a ghostwriter kind of thing. And it's apparently about some extramarital affair Elvis was having.
Oh, is this the woman said that she was Elvis's kept woman for like 17 years,
right,
and Elvis would fly back and forth between Vegas and Memphis to do
exactly
her for a weekend?
That's the book, as I understand. I have not read
it
that book.
It came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think I've had it a little longer than
okay.
that. Actually, but,
and then what's your other book?
It's called The Elvis Sightings, of people who have actually claimed to have seen Elvis.
Spec 4 Craig,
yes.
Do you claim to have seen Elvis somewhere in your army travels?
No, I haven't seen him yet, but I believe this book, though, and I firmly believe that Elvis is alive.
One lady said that she saw Elvis right there at the funeral.
Dead, yeah.
Dead as a doorknob, and don't get much deader than that.
And you were talking about the suit he was wearing, and they mentioned that in this book, and some people who also were at the funeral, and they say, yeah, man, it was a fake. No way.
Hmm.
He's alive. There's a guy in here who went camping with him in the Appalachian Trails or whatnot. Elvis is a hell of a cook, apparently.
He is.
Some other ones, an impromptu little show somewhere in Louisiana that he just swung into a honky-tonk and, you know, belted out a couple of tunes for him and then was whisked away in a black limo.
Ooh.
So he still has, like, the Memphis Mafia hanging out with him incognito underground.
Not only that, but, you know, I think the Secret Service may be working for him because he had that connection with Nixon, like you were saying earlier. You never know.
Was he spotted at Nixon's funeral?
That's a good question. I think this book came out before Nixon's funeral, but...
Well, maybe the new edition can have Nixon's funeral.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, how are you enjoying that Christmas gift?
Christmas gift. I gotta thank you for your Christmas gift, Craig. It's come in handy on many occasions. If you can get any other stuffed animals overseas, let me know.
Oh, you bet, man. I picked up a bear in Amsterdam, I think it was.
Bears are okay, but I still think that rabbit you gave me is the best.
Well, enjoy it, and I'm glad you like it.
But I think that's somehow narcotics related. It doesn't have anything to do with cute, fuzzy stuffed animals. I don't know. Call me suspicious.
Suspicious minds. See, it all comes back to Elvis, brother.
It does.
Anything else, Craig?
I just wanted to let you know I was listening to your show, actually. And if you guys ever want to invite me back, I'd be proud and honored as an American.
We'll keep it in mind. Next Tuesday.
Hey,
see you at midnight.
You know, I'm unemployed, so I have nothing but time on my hands.
Oh, you're looking for a job?
Yes, I am.
If there's any prospective employers out there, you can give us a call at 749-1444. Maybe we can hook you up with a job tonight, Craig.
I'm a train killer, and, yeah, that's about it.
You're pretty good at fixing bicycles, too, if I recall, aren't you?
That's true. I can do that as well.
And you're mean with a stuffed animal, especially if it's a rabbit or a bear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. It's the phone number, so give us a jingle. Okay? Say okay, Rob.
Okay.
Listen, don't you? Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice? Tell me that it's nice and then you kinda. Yeah, yeah, little sister, don't you do what your big sister does? You know, dated your big sister. Oh, I took her to the show. Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice? Tell me that it's nice and then you kind of run. Yeah, little sister, don't you do what your big sister done? Turned up no, off a baby even go and lay the lips and show from you. Joe. Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you kiss me off the plan? Tell me that it's nice and then you kind of run. Yeah, little sister, don't you do what your big sister done. Don't you kiss me once or twice? Tell me that it's nice and then you turn around. Yeah, little sister, don't you do what your big sister done? Well, little sister, don't you do what your big sister done? Oh, little sister, don't you do what your big sister done?
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Together we are
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
We are your radio pals. You don't have any better pals than us, at least not on the radio. The phone number here is 749-1444.
749- and the joint's not the point. Freedom is. If this sounds good to you, tune in to Hemp Rock Radio with your hostess, Lynn Wilson. Every second Saturday from 12 o'clock noon to 1 p.m., one of those segments of Queen City Soapbox here at WAIF Cincinnati, Hemp Rock Radio, the second Saturday from 12 o'clock noon until 1 p.m. right here on WAIF, Stepchild Radio, what radio is meant to be.
Here's the weather forecast here from WAIF this morning. A chance of snow towards daybreak. Little accumulation is expected with a low of 25. Today, cloudy and breezy with a chance of freezing rain or snow in the morning with a chance of rain in the afternoon.
How much of Big Belly's going for in Chicago?
A high of 43. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of rain early with rain likely after midnight, a low of 38. Currently, it's 25 in the Queen City.
How much is winter wheat selling for?
Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Okay, how you doing, Mark?
Not too bad.
What's on your mind?
I was just very glad to hear that you're having a show about Elvis.
Are you a big Elvis fan, Mark?
Oh, yeah, big time.
What's your favorite period of Elvisism?
Probably, I'd say, oh, that Brutal Youth album was great, man. I loved that album. That was probably my favorite album because it proved that he still can rock, you know, after all these years.
You know, John Wesley Harding, when he played Miami University a couple years ago, he had the big joke build up to that same thing. It was, oh, wow, you know, it's good. You know, you guys are having this big, giant a poll about what you wanted, the cool, young, hip Elvis or the old, fat, bloated Elvis. And I of course, wanted the old, fat, bloated Elvis because, you know, Costello is such a pig now anyway.
So you guys caught on to me, huh?
Yeah, we caught on to you real quick.
That wasn't right.
But I always thought that was just because everybody accused John Wesley Harding of ripping off Elvis's sound.
Yeah. It wasn't, I guess I was being...
Dwight Yoakam catches some of that rap, too.
Yeah, he does.
He's got the hips.
I just heard that. Didn't you guys just play him or something?
Yeah, man, we don't screw around. We're not playing games here, buddy.
Yeah, we're
this
all over that
business.
Elvis tip tonight, brother, and all you right, better man. Be prepared. You better have your seatbelts on and be strapped in, because we're traveling at supersonic speed.
You know what else I wanted to ask that woman about Elvis's twin brother that died at birth? I forgot all about it.
Why didn't you ask her then?
Because I forgot all
Maybe
about it.
Maybe he's still alive.
Because somebody kept making a wrap it up motions to me.
Maybe he's still alive.
No, Elvis's twin brother died at birth.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Did you see him at the funeral?
They don't have a funeral for itty-bitty babies that are born dead.
Now I really want to know if it did happen, because I'll have to beg her to call back. Is she sleeping right now, or you think she'll call?
She's probably out of radio range, and she's probably asleep.
Oh, man. Man, you should have asked her.
I know.
That's what you're for, Mark. What part of town are you calling from, Mark?
White Oak.
How are things in White Oak tonight?
They're pretty oaky.
You know, with this stadium tax thing coming up, all these sports guys, all these idiots like Tim Sullivan and Paul Daugherty, these guys who are so incredibly stupid, they can't do anything, but they can't even cover a game. All they can do is tell you what they think. So these guys are always saying, we don't want to end up like one of these cities without professional sports. We don't want to end up like Memphis. And I think, you know, I was in Memphis there for, you know, and between Graceland and Sun Studios in Beale Street, there's an awful lot to do and have fun in Memphis.
Yeah, there is. It's a pretty cool place.
That's what I'm thinking. But to these stupid jockheads like Paul Daugherty, who has no life in the wintertime except for 16 Sunday afternoons, there's nothing to do in Memphis because they don't have professional sports.
But he's getting paid a lot more money than I am.
No, he's just a butt wipe.
Yeah, he is. I mean, Memphis, I'd probably want to really go there because I always hear John Stamos saying on Full House how he wants to get married there and all this stuff, and he's like an idol to me. So, not John Stamos himself, but the character Uncle Jesse.
I tell you, Uncle Jesse's girlfriend may have been the most beautiful woman in show business there for a while.
She was.
She had like a 12-inch waist.
Yep. She had her bad days, though.
No, she didn't. Even her bad days were incredible, though.
Yeah, they were incredible. I mean, but those days when she looked fine, man, I was like, whew. Lori Loughlin, I don't really like her on that Tony Danza show too much.
Oh, she's got a new show?
Yeah, she's on. It's on Tuesday nights at 8:30 on ABC. It's
about. She went from John Stamos to Tony Danza.
Yeah.
You know, you got a feeling in her earlier life, she must have committed a mortal sin. She must have been a big plantation owner in the 1850s in Alabama and treated her slaves very poorly or something.
She must.
Because she has done something wrong.
Yeah, because I mean, John Stamos, he's just, like, awesome compared to Mr. Danza. You don't hear about John breaking his legs or nothing, you know. He's up there. He knows what he's doing.
John's on Broadway now. He's, like, in Grease or Goodbye Saigon or something.
He's testing out his acting skills. He's trying to, you know.
He's got the skills.
He does. After this, that'll just prove to himself that he's the man.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Mark. We got to get to some other people.
All righty, man.
We love White Oak, man.
All right, thanks.
I just want to state for the record.
What's that, Rob?
That in 37 years of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, you've answered the phone once, and you are one for one at spilling the pop when you answer a phone.
Some traditions you have to carry on, man. Some traditions
you're perfect.
You can't stop.
Imagine you're drawing a bath.
Okay, hang on.
I'd rather paint one.
Hang on.
Boom, boom.
There. You like that?
Imagine you're drawing a bath. But before getting in, pour in, we'll say a little weed killer, a little industrial strength cleaner, and then some used motor oil.
Sounds like something Elvis had for breakfast.
And then put it in a test tube and take it to your doctor.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's what we're doing to our oceans and lakes.
Aww.
To help use less toxic household cleaners. Practice natural lawn care by composting and using fewer chemicals. And take your used motor oil to a gas station to be recycled. If you need a free brochure about all this stuff, call 1-800-504-8484. If we do a little, we can do a lot. It's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show here at WAIF Cincinnati. We're talking Elvis, but we're talking everything else.
Say the phone number, Rob.
It's always an open forum here. 749-1444. Usually when you say the phone number, Rob, it means we're going into a song.
No, it means say the phone number because we're going to take calls, some more calls here.
You know what Elvis song nobody remembers?
Suspicious Minds.
One of his last hits, a song called Way Down.
Way Down.
Do you remember that song? I think it was on the Moody Blue album. I think Moody Blue was the last single. And then he did Way Down.
How's it go?
I don't know. It's
what's the melody line in Way Down? I mean, what's the melody like?
It's like, way down, way down, da-da-da-da-da. Then at the very end, then it will stop, and the guy will go, way down. Then it'll just get really deep.
Way down, way on down.
Then at the end, he sings lower than the piano.
Will you bring that record next
only
week?
I don't have.